How many people does it take to watch over money and politics in America? I am David Brancaccio in New York. The Federal Election Commission, the government's campaign finance watchdog, is losing another commissioner. Now, without a replacement, the commission won't have enough people aboard to make key decisions going into the 2020 elections. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer often covers the FEC. She joins us. What do we have here?
Well, David, there are supposed to be six members of the Federal Election Commission, or FEC. Yesterday, Vice Chair Matthew Peterson announced he's leaving at the end of this week. That means there will be just three commissioners left. The FEC is responsible for enforcing campaign finance laws, but at least four votes are required for any official action. So once Peterson leaves, the FEC can't enforce the law or even approve audit reports as money keeps pouring into the campaigns of presidential and congressional candidates.
What was the FEC able to accomplish with just the four members, though?
Not as much as campaign finance watchdogs wanted. Even when the FEC is at full strength with six commissioners, it often deadlocks on party lines, on things like whether campaigns have to disclose their donors, whether there can be coordination between campaigns and outside groups. And critics say Congress designed it that way.
Now, history is a guide here, though.
It is. Last time the FEC got down to just three commissioners back in 2008, it decided to allow just three votes on some minor issues. Other than that, though, commissioners will just have to wait until President Trump nominates people for the empty slots. The president did send one nomination to the Senate back in 2017, but the Senate hasn't voted on it yet.
Our Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. We like to warn that stock indicators such as the Dow Jones Industrial Average should not be seen as a moment-to-moment gauge on the state of the world, the country, or our personal well-being. Now, that said, the stock market indicators lately are often viewed as a readout on U.S.-China trade tensions. After President Trump said a deal with China is possible, stocks moved up yesterday. Anything's possible, was his quote at a news conference as the Group of Seven summit wrapped up yesterday. Today, well, the Dow future is unchanged. The S&P future and the NASDAQ future each up about 0.1%. Germany's DAX index is up 0.3%, even though we have new data today confirming that country is on the brink of recession. London's 100 share index down 0.3%. China says over 500,000 of its citizens study abroad each year, many here in the U.S. As the Chinese economy evolves, more students are going back to China after graduation. About 1 million students returned from their studies in 2017 and 2018. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack has this profile from Chengzhou City near Shanghai.
2 years ago, Prince Jiang was living a life many Chinese families could only dream of. He was in Indiana, finishing his PhD in computer science and running his own big data company. After graduation, his parents hoped he'd stay in Indiana to have a better life.
They wanted me to stay there and like my other relatives. And I have so many relatives living in the U.S.
But in the fall of 2017, he moved back to China to become a professional Lego builder. He's certified by the Danish company, a distinction shared with just 13 other people around the world. And Jiang is the first in mainland China. He's proud of this, but others question his career move.
People around me just feel, oh, you're a crazy man. You're just back for the toy.
When Lego certified Jiang in 2017, it gave him less than a month to pack up his life in the U.S. He didn't even finish his PhD. He's not a Lego employee, though, just a contractor. He is the go-to guy when a new Lego shop opens in China or when Disney has a new movie. Jiang designs and builds big Lego sculptures for them.
Yeah, you can feel that way.
Jiang keeps 45 tons of Lego in his studio. He has a lot of projects on the go. He's built Lego replicas of ancient Chinese scrolls and terracotta warriors. His work is promoted on local talk shows.
Wow.
Jiang says many of his classmates studying abroad have also returned to China, which now offers many more opportunities.
Because, you know, in China, the salary is getting higher and higher. In Shanghai, I think some industries, the salary is definitely higher than if you work in the U.S. in the same industry.
One thing Jiang misses about the U.S. is how straightforward it is to do business. But he is happy to be back in China and turning his hobby into a career he loves. In Changzhou City, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
In computers, they call it the form factor, how the computer looks and feels as a physical object. Well, this is the year the fast food industry got a lesson in the importance of form factor. Turns out many people want the form factor of a hamburger, whether or not it has animal meat as the patty. Well, today, KFC tests something it's calling Beyond Fried Chicken, non-meat, shaped into nuggets and kind of wings. This is being tested at only one KFC in Atlanta for interesting reasons. Here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Pretend meat had a real shortage this spring. Impossible Foods, the veggie-based protein supplier to White Castle and Red Robin and Burger King, stranded restaurant customers, so it hired like mad and partnered with other factories. It's tough, says Jim Hertel at Inmar Analytics. He watches non-meat proteins.
Many of them are pea-based, and so you've got crop cycles to deal with, but you also have production capacity. And do people simply have enough of the manufacturing capacity?
Now, Impossible Foods says it's fully stocked. And competitor Beyond Meat plans to offer non-meat balls at Subway outlets. But no one wants a sub or a burger on back order. And supply chains take time, says Tom Vierheil at Innova Market Insights.
I don't think anybody's really ready to ramp this up and that every McDonald's and every Burger King and every KFC is going to have a plant-based option overnight.
So KFC is starting with one store, but it will have to scale up if customers flock. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Pea-based, based on the green legume. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Michael Lipkin, Candace Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. I am David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.